Hello Vineyard, thank you for tuning in to another message online. I'm so excited that you're joining this online service again on this Sunday, or maybe it's some other day. Anyway, this whole crisis makes one of my dreams come true, and that is to preach in sweatpants, which you cannot see, and it doesn't matter. But probably I know that on the other side of this camera, you are receiving this message most probably in sweatpants as well. So I feel like we're united this morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're watching. Hey, we're going to continue our Road to Easter sermon series. We're almost done. It's almost Easter next week. And we're doing that from another scene from the book of John. We've been following his chronology in the, about the last week of Jesus' life before the crucifixion and resurrection. And today we're looking at John 17, a prayer that Jesus is sort of saying out to the Father right after he was sharing the Passover meal, which he turned into communion with the disciples. And so we're looking at that prayer. And it's really, when you read it and when we're reading this verses, we need to realize this is the night before of the arrest and the night before the crucifixion. The next 24 hours in his life would be the most important, the most difficult, the most, painful 24 hours of his life. He knew what was ahead. And with that in mind, he says this prayer and he prays for his disciples. Now, he knew that his disciples also had tough times ahead. You know, for the disciples as well, life as they knew it would completely change. They would lose their teacher, at least they thought, you know, the one that they thought would start a revolution, the one they left everything behind for, would be taken away from them. He would be arrested and sentenced to death and executed within 24 hours. The person they had left everything behind for would be taken away from them, and it shattered their world. Now, this may not completely apply, but maybe you have this feeling as well right now, this sort of, it's the end of the world as we know it type of gut feeling. You know, we've been surviving these last couple of weeks and, you know, the isolation, and of course, social media is filled with funny memes and everything, but, you know, probably you feel the same way as I do. Like, this is hard. This is a worldwide thing that's going on. It's affecting my everyday life. There's a disease out there that might hit me too. And you know, maybe if it hits me, it's fine. It's I'll survive. I'll be okay. But you know, there's a lot of other people that get really, really sick, and this is heavy, and this is gonna have huge consequences worldwide. Life as we knew it may have ended, and we don't know what tomorrow or next week or the month after or next year will look like. So you may relate to that sort of, it's the end of the world as we know it type of feeling, like the disciples had on that same night. And so I think the prayer of Jesus may really apply well to us today. And I think at the heart of his prayer for his disciples, and also he mentions anyone who would become a follower of him because of their testimony, so that includes you and me, he prays for them as well. So it really applies to us. And the heart of the prayer is keeping the right focus. Keeping the right focus in times of turmoil. We need to focus on the right things. And so I think it beautifully applies to us as well. You know, Jesus never unfolded his full game plan to save the world to his disciples. He didn't. You know, he was preaching the kingdom and living the kingdom and, you know, teaching the kingdom and all of that. And he actually told them about the cross, and he told them about the resurrection before, and they didn't get it. But he never unfolded the full game plan. He was preparing them to go on mission, but he never really told them, okay, this is what it's going to look like. I'm going to be crucified, then I'm going to be resurrected, then I'm going to ascend up to heaven, then I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. You'll, from disciples, you'll become apostles, sent once out into this world, and you'll change the world from now on. No, he didn't do that. Before the cross, he did tell them about the resurrection. At the resurrection, he told them about the ascension. You know, do not hold on to me because I'm going back to the Father. At the ascension, he told them about Pentecost. You know, go back to Jerusalem and wait, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. After Pentecost, they started, you know, their worldwide mission, but it started in Jerusalem and Judea. They started the church there. And then Jesus revealed to Peter in a dream, hey, this is not just for the Jews, this is for everyone around the world. So slowly he was unfolding his game plan to them. Now, here we are in the midst of a crisis, and we have a ton of questions. At least I do. I have a ton of questions and no answers. Few answers. You know, I don't think we should have the answers to questions like this. How long is this going to take? We don't have the answer. How will this affect me? What is the world going to look like after all of this? You know, how is God going to use this for good? I mean, he's using all things for good for those who love him. Well, how? I don't know. You know, I don't think Christians should have the answers to these questions. And honestly, I don't think we'd be able to deal with God's honest questions to these answers to these questions. And so that's not really what we should be focusing on. And that's where I think the prayer of Jesus in John 17 will really help us to focus on the right things. We are going through something right now. Let's focus on the right things. Let's not focus on getting all the answers. Let's not focus on, you know, things that will really distract us. Let's not focus on the problem, but let's focus on the right things. And John 17, the prayer of Jesus, gives us three things that we can focus on that I think are really important for us right now. First, be connected to the Father. Secondly, be united with each other. And thirdly, be present in this world. Let's explore. We're going to start with the first point. Be connected to the Father. And we're reading John 17, verse 6 to 8. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me in this world. So this is Jesus praying to the Father. I have revealed you, the Father, to the ones, that's the disciples, you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. You know, this part of the prayer emphasizes the importance of being connected to the Father. And that's what we need to do in this time as well. Again, I'm going to have very simple points for you. But I think times like this really call for simple points. The focusing on the right things. It's not complicated. It's not hidden. It's simple and plain. Focus on God the Father. Be connected to God the Father. Turbulent times should draw us closer to God. But my question is, are they? Are they drawing you closer to God? Because they also have the potential to push us away from Him. I mean, let's be honest, this is not an automatic thing. When something like this happens and there's all this fear and there's this uncertainty and there's this, for some of you, you have nothing to do right now. For some of us, life is busier than ever. Like for our family, we suddenly have an extra full-time job on our hands in our child, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, but you know, there's a lot of things that need to happen. So these are times are busy, and it gets me a bit on edge. So there's this turmoil going around us and in us, and can easily push you away from God, or kind of drag you away from focusing on God. I mean, let's be honest. Is it drawing us closer to God at this moment? It should, but is it? You know, when your mind is so busy with everything that's going on, do you make space to also look up to God and say, okay, God, what are you doing in all of this? Do you share everything that's going on in you? Are you sharing that with the Father? Your doubts, maybe your sadness, or maybe your fear at this moment. Are you sharing it with Him? Because that's drawing closer to God. It's, you know, God doesn't only invite us in when everything is going well, and when we say, God, I have faith, nothing's going on, like, I'll get, like, we'll get through this time together. No, he wants us to draw near with whatever is going on inside of us, including our fear and our doubt and our uncertainty and all of those things, and the turmoil, that chaos, that storm inside of us. He's okay with that happening as long as it brings us closer to him. He wants us. He wants to know you. He wants intimate relationship with you. So do you seek his direction and his nearness and his comfort and his guidance at this time? Or are you only looking at the news for that? Secondly, are you using the silence of isolation to listen to the voice of God? Or are you numbing the silence with all kinds of entertainment? Ask yourself this question today. What am I doing? You know, our lives may be a little bit on pause at the moment. Like, we had plans, they're not really happening, and, you know, everything is coming to a standstill. I just want to tell you, life with God, like, time with God is never wasted. It's never wasted. If you're using this time when your life is on pause to draw near to God, it is not a waste. I promise you that it is not a waste. Okay, secondly, what Jesus is praying for is that we Christians, the church, followers of Jesus, would be united with each other. And that's the second focus in this prayer and the second application for us today. Let's read. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So that includes you and me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be as one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. Now, first of all, church history is not really a confirmation that every prayer that we pray is answered with a full yes. I mean, even the prayer of Jesus, it didn't happen. Christians over the years did not stay united. And I think all of us may either directly or indirectly have been impacted by church splits and church politics and, you know, angry and judgmental Christians on social media platforms and stuff like that. So Christians are not united. Some Christians decide they're not going for unity at this moment even, and they comment on each other on how we're dealing with this crisis and all of that. You know, I'd say that this should draw us closer to each other as well. And physically, we cannot do this at this moment. It will help spread the virus. It's so ironic. But Jesus is not speaking about a unity in terms of being very close to each other in the same room necessarily. Of course, this is how it's often expressed, and that's beautiful, and I miss that, and I want you guys in my house again, and I want to gather with you guys again. But ultimately, that's not what it's about. It's about a unity of heart, an interconnectedness of heart. It's about a unity of faith. It's about standing together even in the toughest times. That's the type of unity that Jesus is talking about. And so I actually see an increased sense of unity in the body of Christ in this time, but also over the last couple of decades. And I'm happy to be part of a church, a family of churches like the Vineyard, that has the kingdom of God at heart, and therefore also the health and the unity of the body of Christ. It's one of our hallmarks. It's one of the things that has always marked us as a movement. And so I'm happy to be part of that. You know, we want to connect with other churches and be united with them and focus on the things that are similar instead of the things that divide us. Anyway, this should draw us closer together. And so even from your place of isolation, or if you went back to your home country from a place of distance, let's stay united. Let's not assume that the other one is doing really well, but phone people up that God brings in to mind, or just your friends. Like, stay connected. Stay connected in your virtual home group. If you're not in a home group, get in a home group. We'll help you with that. But let's, in this time, not isolate ourselves from social contact. Let's stay connected with other people. It will really help us through this time. We can encourage each other. We can pray for each other. So please take that to heart. Let's stay united in this time. Now, lastly, the focus in the prayer of Jesus is that we as Christians would be present in the world. Now, Anina did a great job a couple of weeks ago preaching on this very same passage, actually, about how we can be in the world but not of the world. So I'm not going to repeat all of that again. But it's a beautiful focus. Like, we should be present in this world. We have a place. In the midst of this crisis, the church and Christians have a place. I'm talking to my neighbors more than ever on a meter and a half distance, at least. But more than ever, I'm talking to them, and I'm praying that there will be openings for me to also share a little bit of a testimony with them. And I hope it's the same for you. So we have a place in this world. And I want to read just verse 21 again. We just read it. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. So that the world will believe that you sent me. We have a place in this world. And through our connection with the Father, and our unity with each other in this time, we're receiving this peace and this faith for this time. And this silencing of the storm we can experience, and this security that all is going to be well. And that will lead us to a testimony to the world around us. You know, we can testify to them that indeed there is a God, that indeed there is a Savior, that our hope that we've received, I mean, we didn't accomplish hope, we received hope. The hope we've received is so much more powerful than any fear or than any turmoil that's going on around us. We have a place in this world. We have a testimony in this world, in this time. Now, we're going to focus more on that next week. And I want to close it off here with three questions for reflection, and then I'll pray. So three questions for reflection this week. How am I using the time, this time, to draw closer to God? Think about it. Discuss it with the people in your home group. If you're meeting with them virtually today, discuss it. Or with the people in your household, discuss these questions. How am I using this time to draw closer to God? And secondly, who can I connect to in the church that I can encourage and pray and that I can pray for? Simple. Is there at least one person that I can phone up this week? Hey, how are you doing? It's as simple as that, being united. And then lastly, this week, how can I represent Jesus to people who don't know him yet? How can I? Maybe that starts with a prayer. All right, let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll shift to another prayer video. All right, Father, thank you for this time that we can virtually connect as a church, and that we can hear from your word. Father, thank you that all of this, everything that's going on, did not come as a surprise to you. And you are in control. And we can, in this time as a church, just commit to three simple things. That's to connect with you and use this time to draw near to you and let you search us and know us and point things out in us that are not from you and work on them with you. Father, thank you for what you're doing inside of us. Secondly, Lord, we just pray that we'll be united as a church, even on distance and even in isolation, even though we can't physically meet together. And Lord, we pray that will find ways to stay united. They will still find ways to connect to new people in the church. Lord, we want to stay united. Help us, Lord. Help us through this time to stay a church community. And thirdly, Lord, we pray, help us to be a testimony in this world. Lord, we are not doing this in our own strength or through our own accomplishments or through anything that you know, we bring forth, but do it inside of us, Lord. Like, spring up a testimony inside of us to the world around us. Holy Spirit, will you prompt us? Will you point people out to us, Lord? We open our lives to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and change us from the inside out so we can have the right focus, even in the midst of the chaos that surrounds us. Amen. Thank you, Vineyard.